So on the podcast for this week, we have a very special guest. It's Equinox. A lot of you have been asking for him in the comment section. I think this is like the top voted comment by far in the previous M Plus episodes. So I actually knew about you when everyone was talking about you in BFA as one of the best brewmaster tanks. And since then, you have, you know, clearly been the number one brewmaster ever since. But why don't I turn it over to you? Why don't you introduce yourself to those people who haven't watched your content before?
Hi, I'm Equinox. I've been a brewmaster player since BFA. I used to main hunter, but right now I just focus on brewmaster. I main tank. I really enjoy the class. I usually float around top three brewmaster. I usually hold number one most of the season, but I end up not pushing at the end. And sometimes I lose it, sometimes I don't. The highest rating I've been is top 15 tank in Shadowlands Season 1, like top 15 overall. And yeah, I just enjoy playing the class. I think it's really fun. I think it's engaging. And yeah, that's about it.
Very impressive. And obviously, let's start with the obvious, right? You are undisputedly the number one brewmaster tank in the world. I think nobody will contest that. Now, when you're on your monk and playing a tank, I don't think I ever saw you really cave to the meta in a big way. And it seems like, despite that, you're still doing one of the highest keys in the world. Kind of tell us, like, what drives your dedication to play a brewmaster tank after so many years, despite what happens in the meta?
So I think for me, I'm maining brew, I think it's just because it's the most engaging tank. So I've tried to play like DH or like whatever meta tank comes up, and it just gets really boring for me. I think brew is very, like, their kit, base kit is extremely engaging, and I'd rather have that and like have to put in a little bit more effort to do the same keys than play something that I find boring.
Right. And what exactly is it about the kit that engages you? Obviously, you know, Stagger is very unique to Brewmaster, but I've seen you do some crazy shit on your stream where, you know, you time your 100% dodges and whatnot. Kind of walk us through, like, what is it exactly about the kit that makes it such an engaging tank for you to play?
So at the base kit level, just the way the stagger minigame works between purifying brew, celestial brew, and just your normal stagger, and just the lack of actual active cooldowns that they have compared to other tanks like Prop Paladin, which has like a bunch of active cooldowns. You don't have very many active cooldowns, so you have to kind of play in this like small, short cooldown minigame instead of playing the long cooldown game. So I think that's like my favorite part. As far as like the 100% dodge thing goes, I really love that mechanic. So stuff like Hate Spite, the current Black or Cold third boss, I really enjoy stuff like that. Just being able to force dodge really hard hitting abilities. You can do that on Soul Goliath too with the Crush. I just really enjoy that mechanic.
Right. And, you know, being such a big fan of the class toolkit, min-maxing everything you're given, has there ever been a moment in Mythic Plus where you felt like, ah, shit, this class toolkit is holding me back from pushing like the highest keys? Like, have that thing ever kind of bothered you in any way?
So the only dungeon I've ever felt that way about is Mists of Turnasai on one specific mob. It was the dragon mob in the maze.
Mm, right.
And Stagger just did not work on that mechanic at all. Like, their tank buster, so I would just die. Right. So that was the only time I ever felt like the kid was holding me back.
Right. And we have already kind of dived into this territory, but, you know, I've seen your push group play up to like 3,500 brackets without proper bloodlust. You guys were using drums all the way. So what's your take? Because obviously you play a non-meta tank, but you can clearly pick, you know, meta DPS and healers as well. But, you know, it doesn't seem to bother you. So what's your mentality when it comes to playing meta comps in Mythic Plus?
As far as like the strength of meta comps, I think the only time you really need to play meta comps if you're going for like world first keys. The only exception to this was like season 2 of this expansion, just because like the Aug S-Priest mage comp was just absurd and you couldn't really play without it. But I just prefer playing with people that I like, so if that doesn't have bloodlust, then I play without it. But I usually try to make the comp as strong as possible that tailors to brew. So like this season and season 1 Dragonflight, I played double Rogue Warrior because that's just a really strong brewmaster comp. And it just goes really well with my toolkit, really good with the way I like to pull dungeons.
Right. And you mentioned that you rather play with people that you enjoy playing with. And I was watching your stream yesterday, I think. What struck me was, I think it was a Haikyuu on Blackrook Cold, and you guys, I think 2 DPS died, and you guys were just joking and laughing about it. And, you know, it kind of contrasts what a lot of people think about high-end Mythic Plus, which is it's sweaty and, you know, it could be, you know, even toxic in certain scenarios, right? So what's your mentality when it comes to doing Haikyuus like that, especially you're a tank, right? So there's a lot on your shoulders. What's your mentality when it comes to mistakes and whatnot? And I'm jumping ahead of questions maybe, but I would love to kind of just hear your thoughts on that, because you mentioned about playing with people you enjoy.
So when it comes to mistakes, I think sometimes they can get frustrating, but at the end of the day, like the season length is so long that you're going to make so many mistakes. You're going to deplete so many keys. So you might as well not get like too upset about it. Like, obviously you're going to get like a little annoyed if you deplete like a really, really hard key after spending so long in it. But, you know, if you play with people you enjoy, it's a lot easier to not get annoyed, because, you know, you at the end of the day, you're friends, like you can just like kind of laugh it off. But I think in general, just having like a healthy mindset of like going in, like people are going to make mistakes. As long as you give criticism in a healthy way, you'll be able to improve on that a lot faster, and you'll just have less mistakes as people won't be as stressed.
That's great advice. And I think the other thing that I really want to ask you is, you know, meta comms aside, the other thing that you are famous for, and I think if anyone searches your name on Reddit, and my editor will pull it up, I think one of the top comments you see on Reddit is like, Equinox is essentially really playing like a 4th DPS as a brewmaster, and it's about how much damage you always put out as a tank on your brew. So kind of tell us, like, how do you see tank damage in the highest of keys?
So I think overall in the really high keys, tank damage is super important, especially when it comes to like trash damage. Boss damage isn't too much. The only exception to this is stuff like Bear and even now VDH, where they reduce the timer more from the way they pull the dungeon more than the damage they do. Brew is the opposite. They just reduce the timer just by doing absurd amounts of damage. So I think overall it's super important, but it usually just depends what tank you end up playing.
And, you know, Brewmaster is said to have one of the most kind of button bloat amongst all the tanks. If there's any aspiring brews out there who's listening to this podcast and they want to put out numbers that you're putting out, what's your best advice for people who are trying to kind of, you know, min-max their DPS?
So the best advice I can give to min-max is just get used to tanking mobs in your statue. A lot of people don't know that the White Tiger statue does so much damage. Like, it's about like 7% overall if you play around it really well. The other main point is making sure you're getting your weapons of order rotation out. So getting your four stacks and then using Exploding Keg, using Bone Dust Brew on cooldown, making sure you blackout combo every single Breath of Fire. Those are like the really, really important things. Outside of that, you just pretty much use your buttons on cooldown and it doesn't really affect it too much. But it's really important you play your CD windows very well, because if you don't play those well, your damage is not going to do well.
Dude, I feel like that should go on the top of, you know, the WoW hit guides, which they don't obviously, but that's enlightening, honestly, because I've heard people talk about brew and whatnot, but you kind of distilled it to very important yet simple rules. And I think it's kind of easy to at least be a starter for some people. And speaking about kind of making complicated stuff simple, one of the other things that a lot of people wanted me to ask you is, you seem to have your own way of theory crafting about brew. And obviously, you know, there's a class Discord for, you know, Pick of Serenity for monks, but it seems like from the way you build your builds, it's a lot of your own thinking, a lot of your own trying and trialing and error. Kind of tell us, like, what's your mentality when it comes to figuring out stuff like that?
So my first process when I'm like, so like going into like a beta or a PTR is, and they have talent changes, is first, try out anything new. Like, that's the most important thing. Try out anything new. See what it has synergies with and what it doesn't. And then when I start doing dungeon testing, how do those, like, talents apply to the dungeons? Do they have any interaction with stuff in the dungeon? Is it just, like, flat damage and then stuff like that? And then once I figure out, like, what does the most damage, I usually play with that high damage build and then dial it back and see how like how much damage I can get out while also sacrificing as much for defense as possible. So if I can like play like, for an example, say 200k overall, it's like a high number, right? So if I can play a build that does 200k overall but can tank 28s, where I can play a build that does 250k overall but they can only reasonably survive 27s or 26s, I'd play the 200k overall build.
Mm. So it sounds like it's mostly kind of numbers driven. Is there any moments where it's more like feely craft, like, okay, my instinct tells me this is better? Like how much of it is math that you do on your own? How much of it is like just feely craft?
Most of it is feely craft, I would say. I'm not too good at the math end. Especially I don't usually sim or do anything. I usually just go into the dungeons, test it over and over and over and see what ends up being the most consistent. Consistency is the most important thing to me. If it's not consistent, then I can't really run it in keys, because otherwise it's like I'm just gonna randomly like die or do really like a lot less damage in some keys, stuff like that. So I think whatever's the most consistent is the most important for me.
Mm. Earlier you mentioned that you try to play with people that you actually enjoy playing with. And I think a lot of people who are trying to get into high keys, one of the biggest problems they face is just even finding a set team to play with. And I would imagine that there are people like, you know, you out there who play brewmasters who aren't, you know, always the meta tank. And it's probably harder for them to find a kind of like a fixed group to play with. What's your kind of advice for people like that who, you know, they're having troubles getting into groups and they probably have to form their own teams? Like, what kind of advice? Like, how do they find people to play with?
So the first place I usually like to look is in like a guild, say you're raiding in a guild, start with there. Even if it's people who are like less experienced than you in M+, you can always teach them. Like I have guildies who have never pushed keys, but they catch up really fast because like you just tell them everything you know, basically. Start there. If you're just pugging, you don't have a raid guild or whatever, just whenever you do keys, you find someone you like or someone who's like nice in the party, add them, like talk to them, see if they want to run keys more. It's basically just like social networking. Like you just want to add people. The more you go, don't be afraid to talk to people, see if they want to continue playing. And then slowly over time, you'll have more regulars. Like you'll have more people you play with regularly. And eventually you can form a 5-man team or just have like a small community of people you do keys with.
That's helpful. And, you know, we have seen so many reiterations of like M+ seasons, dungeons, affixes, and bar, I think, corruption season in BFA. I don't really recall Brewmasters being like top of meta, you know, tanks. And I think even that season, they weren't amazing. But, you know, with the Verse build, it could potentially be one of the better tanks. But what's your thoughts? Like, what does Brewmasters need to have their moment in the sun, you know, to be a meta tank? What's stopping them from being meta right now?
So right now, what's really stopping them is, one, they require a little bit too much external healing. So usually, like, the really, really strong tanks in the past have just been tanks who fully live on their own. They don't really need any help. They don't get one shot, stuff like that. So right now, Brew needs a little bit more of that. They need their base mitigate, like base stagger buffed a little bit and needs to scale a little bit harder. And something else that we could use is just a form of party utility. It doesn't have to be AOECC. It doesn't have to be anything. So like an example is old Black Ox statue used to give guard to your party. So just like an absorb shield, similar to mass barrier. So they could give that back. They could give, you know, any number of things, just some form of group utility. Would help us a lot.
Speaking about stagger, I think a lot of people say that, well, it's such a hard thing for Blizzard to balance because, you know, if stagger gives more like magical stagger, and then Brewmasters would undoubtedly be the best tank. And it's just such a weird thing to balance for Blizzard because, yeah, stagger by itself has the potential to be really OP. What's your thoughts on this? Like, has Blizzard kind of dug themselves into a hole with stagger being a core mechanic for Brewmasters? What's your thoughts on this?
I think with modern tank design, I don't really think so, because if you like, you can pretty much make every tank have really strong mitigation. Like you can see that with BDH now, Bear last season, Blood DK multiple times in the past. They just need to kind of balance. If they don't want stagger to be super strong, they need to give us more active cooldowns to play around. because that's how Brew was in BFA, like pretty much all of BFA and even Legion. It was all focused on the stagger mini game. You had a really high base stagger. That's pretty much all you played around. You had very little active cooldown. Now it's kind of the opposite. They gave you Celestia Brew, Dampen, Diffuse, Four Brew. You have more active cooldowns than you did before, but you're still mostly playing around stagger. So it's kind of this weird in between where they expect you to be really tanky with the active cooldowns, but they're not really doing that much. So I think they should either just focus more on the active cooldowns or focus more on the stagger and just let it be strong.
Right. That's enlightening. Okay. Let's kind of move away from Brewmaster talk for a while, and we'll come back to that later. But starting with, you know, kind of more generic tanking questions for Mythic Plus, right? A lot of people see starting to learn as a tank in Mythic Plus as one of the most stressful roles to play because you have to plan routes, you got to plan pulls. What would you say to people who are very kind of intimidated about all the stuff they got to learn, like, you know, planning routes, memorizing pulls? Like, what would you say to people who are being intimidated? They want to play a tank, but they're just afraid of all the shit they have to deal with. And, you know, people tend to blame the tank if the route is kind of, you know, shit. So, like, what would you say to people like that?
It is a hard situation because there is a lot of stress that comes to tanking. But I think if you want to tank, first I would start off with just downloading MDP, just looking at the mobs. And then either going into an M0, seeing how the mobs, like, seeing what the mobs are, or even like a +2, +4, anything like that, just like understanding what the mobs do. That is like your best starting point, because then when you go to like +10, +15, you have the base knowledge, right? Like, don't be afraid to do a little bit of homework and try to learn just the dungeons themselves. And then, like, you'll have that like tiny base level of confidence. As far as getting blamed for stuff, that's just part of M+. People are going to blame you even if it's not your fault. You kind of just have to take it in stride and be like, okay, what do I think I could have done better that dungeon? Like, it's just, people are going to blame you even if it's not really your fault. You just have to kind of take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, just from talking to you, I feel like you're kind of a chill guy. And let's talk about the mentality a bit. So it's very refreshing, because I've spoken to a few, one of, like, you know, the best players in M+ on this interview podcast series right now. And one of the things that does strike me is there are people who tend to be more intense in keys, and then there's people like you who are, I just sense they're a bit more laid back. And just from your stream, I feel that way too. I saw this clip of you just laughing your ass off when you're trying to, like, pull mobs in Freehold and you're just getting teleported all around. I don't know if you remember that, but and you were just laughing while you were wiping, you know, and it was high key. And that was kind of refreshing to see. So what's your mentality about, you know, being a tank and just messing up? Because you mentioned a season is really long, mistakes is inevitable, but you seem to have this ability to kind of just quickly overlook mistakes and just move on. A lot of people tend to beat themselves up. Like, what's your attitude towards such scenarios like that?
At least when I'm pushing high keys, I kind of have an idea of, like, keys that I'm, like, pretty consistent about versus not. So I kind of know ahead of time, like, if I'm more likely to make a mistake in certain dungeons, especially if it's, like, a really hard Brewmaster dungeon for example, Halls of Infusion. Like, that one is extremely hard, so mistakes are going to happen on that one. You're just going to eventually die because it's just a hard key you have to play really well. But overall, If I let myself get annoyed by my mistakes, or, like, get in my head too much, I'm just going to play worse. So if I, like, have that build up over a season, I'm just going to have a really miserable season. So I do my best to make sure, I always tell myself before I start the push keys, that it's okay if I mess up. Don't worry about it too much. And I've gotten a lot of a good habit of just watching my VODs over for my mistakes, instead of, like, thinking about it or, like, in the moment. Like, I'll just, like, say we deplete a key, I'll just look over it afterwards and I'll feel a lot better because I can see, like, objectively what I should have done instead of just thinking about it.
Right. And kind of going back to the answer you had for, like, routes earlier. So a lot of the people who are trying to get higher keys, they do replicate routes that are done by the Wolfers teams. But, you know, some of the routes and some of the pulls that is doable is only possible with a meta comp, right? Let's say a Vengeance who is able to, like, AoE silence and just lock down packs by itself are really long. But if you're playing a Brewmaster, you're playing an off-meta tank, you probably need to modify the route somehow to suit your comp sometimes. What's your take towards routing playing as a non-meta? You have no one to copy. So how do you kind of improve your routes as you start moving into the higher and higher keys in your bracket?
So the main thing that I pay attention to, I do copy some parts of routes. So skips is a huge one. I think copying skips is really important. Pull order, not so much, because so for example, I play Brew and we have to pull smaller. We can't handle like six casters at once. So in keys like Everbloom or keys like Throne of Tides, don't be afraid to split them up and then pull casters into mobs. For example, like the first pull and throne, you the whole first hallway, minus the Ravager, you can CC one of those casters and then play two of them. And then once everything's dead, you bring the third caster into the Ravager because there's no extra caster in that pack. It just relieves the stress on everyone in the group. But just building routes in general, don't be afraid to pull slower and chain pull. Chain pulling is, I think, is a little bit of an underused tactic in M+. You don't need to do constantly big pull after big pull. Just like do small pulls and just constantly bring the leftover mobs into the new pack. And that's really helpful for off-meta tanks.
And you mentioned, chain pulling as kind of like an off-meta tank. That also brings up another very hot topic. A lot of tanks who are just starting out in Mythic Blast, they face this, kind of overwhelming pressure from their DPS, like, oh, the Boomkin has CDs up, pull big, right? What would you say to people, who are trying to, start to tank? Like, this feeling like, oh, the mage just combusts, I gotta pull big. But at the same time, you're not sure whether you can lift a big pull. What's your mentality towards that?
So what I do in those situations, if I'm pugging, we have no comms, and I have, make sure you download Omni CD and you track each major DPS cooldown. So just do like a little research. So like make sure you have like PI for Shadow Priest, Void Eruption, Incarnation for Boomkin, stuff like that. Just having that tracked is really important. If you say like a pull went wrong and you're in your route, you're about to do a big pull, but the pull before went wrong and you have no cooldowns, just type in like party chats, like need to do a small pull before we do the big pull. So like, just communicate that and tell people that you need to hold your cooldowns or like use your cooldowns however you want, but I cannot lift the big pull that we had planned. Stuff like that. Like just don't be afraid to communicate that and don't feel pressured even if they have cooldowns, because if you can't live, it doesn't matter if they have cooldowns. They're like, you're just going to die.
Fair statement. And the other question that we talk about when we talk about DPS players that you roll with, something that's inevitable is, as a tank, you're often seen as the person leading the group just because you are the tank. You've been playing at a very high level ever since, I think as early as BFA days. So over the years, you've played with many good players. Is there anything in particular you look out for the three DPS players that you roll with, like every season? I'm sure you change players every now and then, but what are some of the qualities you look for in a good DPS player for high keys?
So the number one most important quality is how, like, what's their lift percentage in a key? Like, do they die to random stuff all the time? Are they very good about their defenses? Do they use them pretty much on every mechanic? Do they need to be like hand health kind of, some people need to be like told when to kick and stuff like that because they just don't have, like, because they're more focused on their DPS rotation. They don't have like that full spatial awareness yet. So whenever I'm looking for a DPS player, is one, survivability; two, they're very good at kicking on their own. They don't need to be like, it doesn't need to be micromanaged as much. And three, communication is important, but it's not as much. Like, I don't need them to call out like literally everything, but like important stuff like blind, shockwave, spell reflect, stuff like that. Like those are like the really important ones. So they don't need to be like full shot calling, but just some communication is important.
So it sounds like in your groups, you don't mind doing the shot calling role. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
Right. Correct. And let me ask you, like, do you think that the tank is the most suitable for the shot caller role? Or in an ideal way, it seems like the EU tanks have this preference for maybe the DPS or the healers to help out. Like, what's your take on this?
So as far as calling AoE CC, I think tanks do it the best because generally the tank has the most AoE CC, and they know how they're going to like kite the pack or they're going to pull the pack. They know their defenses. So it's better if they call the AoE CCs. I think kicks are better suited for like a ranged DPS who has, they have the least amount of stress in a pull because one, they're farther away. They're not tanking anything. They're not healing anything. I think they're the best role suited to call kicks. As far as defensives, I think healers calling defensives is really nice and is very helpful for boss fights and certain hard trash packs. So I think everyone should kind of do their part, ideally, but I don't think it should just be all on one person. Yeah, I think that's my take on it.
Right, and you mentioned like healers might be the best to kind of call defensives and whatnot. And you've ran with, you know, many healers in your days. What do you look for in your pocket healer? Like, what are the qualities that you look for?
So at least, for me, my POV is kind of different because I play Brew, but I need a healer who doesn't mind just healing sometimes. Mm. Like, they're not too worried about their damage because my class doesn't just, I'm not immortal on my own. Most of the time, I can kind of live on my own, but at least in like hard pulls, I need to know that they'll actually just heal people and me specifically. And I think that's kind of an underrated thing in healers because a lot of people are very damage focused nowadays because people think like you need to min-max your damage as a healer. And I think that's honestly over time has become less and less important unless you're doing like world first keys. Like even like 30 once and stuff, now you don't need healer damage to complete.
Mm. And you know, you have been doing hires of keys for the longest time. But let's kind of walk back memory lane a little. How did you get into doing, you know, the highest keys? You know, when you first started getting the Mythic Plus, like how did you get into that bracket of doing the world's, you know, highest keys and whatnot? Tell us a bit of a story.
So I started pushing initially in Legion as a Vengeance Demon Hunter. I just came back to WoW because I didn't really play much in WoD. So I started playing and I started pugging. There's a lot more pug discords back in Legion because Mythic Plus is brand new. So I started pushing then, and that was like top 200 US keys, nothing super big, but like nothing, you know, they're not too small either. So that was my first starting pushing. And then BFA season 1 and 2, I was more casual. I didn't push too much. Then once in season 3, I kind of decided I wanted to try pushing for the first time. So I ended up pugging a lot. And I did the networking thing that I explained to you guys earlier. And that helped me like start pushing for the first time. And we got some really high keys. I think we ended at like top 10 world Brew. That was like my first season actually pushing on Brew. And then from there on, it kind of just got higher and higher as I met more people. And yeah, just kind of all started with the networking thing and just having a goal in mind and expressing that goal to the people you're playing with.
Mm. And you mentioned expressing the goal that you have with the people you're playing with. Why? Why is that so? Why is it important to kind of do that? And I feel like that's something that very little people talk about. So yeah, what's your mentality about that?
So I think if you express your goal, it's much easier to find people who also want that. So if you're just pugging people, you don't have like a set goal in mind. They're not telling you their goals. You're not telling them your goals. It's hard to find people who will stick with you because then that's how you end up getting expectation mismatch or mismatches. And so I think it's really important to communicate like, hey, I want to go for like top 50 Brew world, right? Like I want to get or like 3.5, 3.6 KIO, having those hard set goals. Because then you'll attract people who also want those goals. And it'll be like, one, it'll start out to be a healthier environment because you have like a more like progression mindset group instead of just like people who, like I said, you have like mismatched expectations.
Right. That's helpful. So you spoke a bit about kind of the dynamics within the group, goal setting, looking for the right people. But what about people who are trying to just get better individually? So let's say they're a pug hero, right? They've been pugging for the longest time. And they're trying to make that leap now going into doing bigger keys. And they can do the networking thing that you mentioned, the thing about setting goals. But what about looking inwards? If they want to say, I want to be a better tank. And I want to be a better tank at specifically like the highest of keys, the most difficult of keys. what kind of advice would you give people? Like, how do they improve? You mentioned reviewing your own VODs earlier. Is that something that you do? Does that help? What other advice?
Reviewing VODs is really helpful. It does require you to like understand what you're looking for, though. So, for example, like if I'm looking back at a VOD and I die, like, or I die in a pole, and it's like, okay, but a DPS missed a kick here, is like, but I also have a defensive, so it's like, should I have that awareness to use that defensive? Like, just how understanding those kind of situations helps when looking at VODs. I think if you're really trying to improve, make it like step based. So, for example, like we talked about improving damage earlier, like if you, that should be, I'd say, your second step. Your first step should be being able to survive 95% of situations as a tank in any key level that you do.
That's helpful. Yeah, so let me ask you something very specific about reviewing your VODs. Because earlier you mentioned, like, for example, let's say at this specific pool, you died at a specific pool and you look at your defensives, and let's say your defensives is on cooldown, right? Let's say Temper Down is on cooldown or Fort Bruce on cooldown. At a point in time, you know, you probably need to start backtracking a little and say, how do I make sure I have like my cooldowns all planned out? But, you know, that's quite a bit of variables, right? Because, basically what I'm trying to ask is, if let's say you died in a specific pool when you reviewed your VOD and you do not have your cooldowns up and available at that point, how would you think about like shifting the pools around? How do you go about solving that problem?
So usually when that happens to me, I think about the route is like and how it's gonna play out in the key, right? So like if pool 1, 2, and 3 go perfectly well, my cooldowns are perfect, but pool 4 goes wrong, what's my backup plan for pool 5? Can we split pool 5 into like 2 different pools and then maybe like do the second half of pool 5 with pool 6? Stuff like that. Like, don't be afraid to like split up pools if you have no cooldowns, because it's like the amount of time loss that you get from splitting up a pool versus dying is so like, it's so much better just to split it up. And then, like I said, chain pull. Like, you lose so much less time by chain pulling than just like doing big pulls sometimes. Like, chain pulling is actually faster than like rounding up really big pulls, especially if you're not like, if you're not a grouping tank like VDH with like Sigil of Silence and stuff like that, who can't like get really big packs together fast. It's pretty efficient to just chain pull and do safer routing, because I mentioned consistency earlier, because safer routing is always going to be more consistent up until you really need to start doing more risky routing. Doing safer routing is a lot better, especially for learning keys.
That's super helpful. And you earlier you talked about kind of call outs and who should be doing what kind of call outs. Beyond that, as a tank, let's say everyone follows your advice, they kind of have a set team to play with now, they've done the networking thing. What are some of the kind of advice you give tanks in terms of communication, like communicating to the team? What's important in the highest of keys? What do you talk to your healer about? What do you talk to your DPS about? Like, yeah, what is the primary role as a tank? What do you communicate in high keys?
First thing first is make sure you're communicating when you need an external. Don't be afraid to call for it. Also, communicate that you won't need an external on a boss fight. This is actually really helpful for healers, because some healers will just hold it. But if they're used to you calling for an external and you don't call for it on a boss fight, they'll just hold it forever. So saying, I don't need it here, is actually helpful, because they can send it to other people or themselves even. Other than that, communicating when you need other people CC, or just pretty much whenever you need help from someone in general, when you need their utility, like say you need Ring of Frost from a mage, or you need Ring of Peace from a Windwalker you're playing with, or Typhoon, anything like that. Don't be afraid to call for other people's utility to help yourself live.
Right, that's very helpful. And you know, earlier you talked about, you know, the inner mental game that someone must have towards kind of managing your emotions and just maybe your ego and whatnot. But that's just yourself. And I know that just from speaking to you, like, you got that part figured out. But Mythic Plus is a team game, right? So sometimes it's inevitable that, okay, your group, you break a key because someone missed a kick, or it's just an avoidable mistake, it's an unforced error, right? And, you know, you can feel it in the mood of the group on Discord, everyone's kind of sulking and there's a bit of tilt going on. How do you manage that kind of, you know, scenarios as a team, especially as a tank where, you know, you tend to be seen as kind of the leader? Like, how do you think about scenarios like that?
Like you said, those scenarios are kind of inevitable. They're going to happen eventually. Usually what helps is taking like a 10-15 minute break and then coming back and just giving some kind of like positive, like quick talk, like, hey, I know we just had some rough keys, but you know, they're just going to happen. We need to just keep playing. We can do some more chill keys to relax for now. Do some homework keys, you know, just try to like lighten the mood a little bit. I know it's kind of hard as to have that responsibility of someone to do that, but doing your best to keep the mood. And if the mood just isn't there, don't be afraid to call it for the day. Like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to like just keep playing when you're tilted.
Right. That's actually very helpful. And it leads very nicely into a follow-up question, actually. So a lot of people, they tilt or they feel, they put themselves in a bad mental state really because they are chasing that kind of the high from getting more score. And it might be push week or something, and it was a key that was easily timable, and it kind of feels bad that, you know, you now have to go do homework keys to push the key up again. But, you know, having been through so many seasons, has the idea of chasing score become less important to you? Like, I just want to understand, like, a lot of people, they are very focused on just score, and they wouldn't do a key if it doesn't give them score. But what's your mentality towards just chasing score versus, you know, doing keys, homework keys for practice? Like, how do you balance that tension?
So for me, I've definitely cared less and less about score than why I've played. I care more about completing the challenge of it. Mm. Like say like timing like a 30 or something. Just the challenge of doing that is more fun to me than the score that comes afterwards. Like, if they gave zero score, I wouldn't care because I just like doing the challenge. So if you're worried about chasing score, then homework keys should be a positive to you because that's more time to get more consistent at those dungeons. Homework keys are like, actually playing those well is super, super important for group play because, like I said, you're going to get more consistent at the dungeon. You're going to get better at the dungeon, faster at the dungeon. So when you eventually get that high key, it's going to be really clean. Like, you notice that with the really good groups, they're like, when they finally time that like world first key, it's really clean.
Mm, that's very good advice and good perspective as well. So it also goes to my next question regarding kind of taking risk in keys. Because it's inevitable that when you're kind of pushing the boundaries of, you know, the timer, sometimes you just got to make risky plays. And I want to get your thoughts on this because just like any new strategy, that the team that tries it for the first time always needs to kind of encounter risk because nobody have done it or you have not tried it before. And you might see VODs on it of other teams doing it, but you executing it as a team is separate from, you know, just watching a VOD. And what's your view on taking risk on keys that are timable? So I'll give you an instance. You're doing a 30 and you seem on track for time, but you know the timer is a little tight and you potentially get pulled like a bigger pull that you've seen other people doing, but you know, you aren't sure. Like, at what point in time as a tank you say, we got to go for it, this risk is worth it, and yeah, like talk to me about that, the tension in your head at that moment.
If the timer's really tight, I'll pretty much always go on the side of doing the risky pull because the issue with the timer being tight is you're pretty much one more mistake away from depleting the key. So like, say you have like a boss death on the last boss, if you don't do that risky pull for the extra timer at the end, it's going to cost you the key. Versus you completing that pull and then you have like an extra minute and a half on the key, and that'll be the difference between you timing it or not. So I wouldn't do risky stuff unless the timer is tight. Then I think it's good to practice those stressful scenarios. Even if it fails, at least you got some practice. And also practicing riskier stuff in like one key level lower, super, super important. I would say like instead of just doing your normal safe route and homework keys, that's the time to do harder pulls.
That's good advice. I'm just wondering, like, when it comes to doing risky pulls, how much of it is kind of, Because, okay, again, you play a non-meta tank, right? So I'm assuming, let's say, when you were running with Rogues and Warriors, the types of pulls that you guys can do is also kind of different. And I guess it goes back to a bit of the earlier question as well, because I'm thinking about the riskier and more dangerous pulls. How much of modification must you make to, let's say, the kind of metacom routes when you're playing with a non-meta team like that? Sorry, this is just a random comment, but it just kind of came into my head when you're talking about the riskier pulls. Do you need to make massive modifications? Yeah.
It depends on the dungeon. For a dungeon like Throne, you need to make massive changes because you just physically cannot do similar pulls because you don't have the kicks. It's just not possible. Stuff like Everbloom, you can kind of keep it similar, but just smaller scale. Like DH Boomy can do like 25 mob pulls. You have to do like back to back to back 10, 15 mob pulls. Instead of like two giant pulls, you have three medium-sized pulls. And I think the timer difference on that isn't as massive as people would think. And it's more consistent for you. Because if you try to do the big pulls and you have like rogue warrior, it's going to live forever. And it's just never going to work out. And the next pull you do, you're going to be exhausted of all your defenses. You're going to have nothing. And it's just not going to be consistent.
And I'd like to go back to something you mentioned earlier. You mentioned that you probably make a judgment call when to take risk or not, depending on how tight the timer is. And to you, is that like feely craft? Or do you have kind of a mental map like, okay, by this third boss, we need to be X minutes away? How do you gauge that? Is it feely craft or do you have a specific like timestamp you look for?
So I usually do timestamps. And so one thing is pretty much going through dungeons and writing down how long a boss fight is when it's like kind of clean. So like if you have like, say you're doing 30 fall, you had a cleaner Riddercron last time, only three shields, and it was 6:15, right? You know that you need to pull the boss with at least 6:20 just to be comfortable, right? Like 6:20, 6:25, give yourself like a 20 second or so leeway. And just having like a mental note of how long each boss takes, how long trash packs take, like really important trash packs at least. So like another example is, say the pull right before the mage boss in Everloom, right? That pull takes about a minute with cooldowns, a minute or so. So if you go in, you have 11:30 left on the timer, that pull's going to take about a minute, and then you'll have 10 for two bosses in a trash pack. And that's on Tyran, not enough time. Because last boss is like 6:30 or whatever. So like having those mental timestamps is super important for gauging the timer instead of just kind of guessing at it.
Got it. And let's move away from maybe the more technical aspect. Let's move to maybe circling back to an earlier point, which you kind of mentioned that you love playing with people that you enjoy playing with, right? Like you just enjoy their presence. But let me ask you, a lot of people who are trying to push the higher keys, they run into this problem where, okay, I enjoy playing with this group of friends and they're my buddies, but somehow they just aren't as good at the game as some other players. At which point in time do you say, man, maybe I should play someone else? Like, how do you make that call? And I'm just asking because I think you've gone through so many seasons with different players. How do you make tough decisions like that?
It kind of just comes down to what you want out of your like time spent on gaming, right? Like, I can enjoy playing with a group of friends, but you can also still play with them while prioritizing your goals, right? Like, you could just be honest with them and be like, I don't think I'll reach my goals with you guys, but like, you know, but I still want to play with you. So I'll probably play a little bit less. Like, I know those conversations are hard to have with people and sometimes they go over really poorly, but, like I said, just being honest about your goals and, don't be afraid to just prioritize them if you really don't see, it working with your team, but also try to like kind of work it out with them. See if they can, like, if they want to go with those goals. Do they want to improve more? Like, are they taking it as seriously as they could? And you just kind of have to have those hard conversations with your friends, because if they are your friends at the end of the day, it'd be fine, right?
Right. And that's good advice if, let's say, you're working to form the team yourself, and you know, you're in control of the situation. But I would also like to get your thoughts on the flip side, which is, say, you know, you are not the one organizing the key, you're just a dude that, I don't know, the healer or the DPS always asks to tank keys, and you're just doing well, right? You think you're doing well, and just over one weekend, like, you're not around, and they replace you with another tank, and since then, they started rolling with the new tank. And obviously, that isn't a great feeling, but, like, how do you kind of process scenarios like that? And how do you deal with, like, the mental game when you're being benched by your former group? Because I think it's actually a very common scenario. So, like, what advice do you have here?
So I think that it does feel bad when that happens, for sure, because you usually think you're playing pretty well, like you said, and then it's just like, okay, well, I guess I wasn't playing as well as I thought. And I think it's kind of like a dangerous path to go down mentally, because it could just be a lot of different things. Like, they could want to play with a different class, with how insane some of the class differences. They could just play with, like, one of their new friends. Like, could be a lot of things. Like, if you, and I usually ask people if that happens to me, I'm like, hey, like, are we just not playing together anymore? Stuff like that. Just being honest. And that usually does help, because they usually, like, give you at least a reason. But if they don't give you, like, a reason or anything, I think it's just, you know, you kind of just have to, you know, take it in stride and just work on improving yourself. That's basically all you can do.
Right. That's a good answer. And I want to pick up on something that you just mentioned, which is sometimes it's about the class and it's just the gulf of what other specs or classes can bring in Mythic class on the highest of keys. What are some hopes you have for, or rather, maybe that's a leading question. Let me ask you, do you think that Mythic class spec and class balancing can be better? And if so, in what areas?
So, at least for tanking specifically, the biggest issue is tank survival is not built equally. The amount of effort you have to put in on one tank versus the other, and some tanks just cannot live. Like, Blood DK has, like, a really hard time living. Even the same, like, regular mobs that DH, even Brew, or, like, other tanks do. And I think that is the first thing Blizzard needs to start with, is just equalizing survivability, making sure there's not, like, these big gaps in survivability. The other big gap is utility. And I think everyone knows that Paladin and DH hold 90% of all tank utility combined. Like, it's absurd the amount of stuff that they have. And I think closing that gap, spreading it out more evenly, so each tank has, like, 3 or 4 pieces of utility, cut down on VDH and Pally a little bit, and just spread it out more evenly across the board, I think that would help tremendously in tank balance.
And since you're talking about kind of, you know, what our wishes are, do you have any big kind of hopes, expectations for, you know, kind of brewmasters when it comes to the War Within? Obviously, we are getting hero talents and whatnot. Is there any hopes? Let's say you had a magic one, right? And you are the class developer on monks. Is there anything you think you want to change?
I'd say the biggest thing would be, one, I'd love to bring back some old utility, like I said, the Black Ox statue thing. But I think the main thing I would probably change is I would actually remove one of our active cooldowns. I'd remove Dampen, and I would make the Stagger minigame more interesting. And I think I would combine, like, you know, the Talent Blackout combo. That'd be more involved with our kit. So it'd be like, it'd empower Stagger in different ways depending on your ability instead of what it does now. And I think that would increase the and also reduce button bloat. That'd be the biggest thing, is remove the button bloat.
Right. And that's probably, like, the most intimidating thing for people to learn brew. And I'm sure you get it a lot on your stream as well. So what advice do you have for people who are just trying to learn brew for the first time? And they are like, they open their spell book and just get flooded by all these abilities. What are some of the basic tips you have for people who are trying to, like, memorize or learn all these different abilities that a brewmaster have?
So what I usually tell people when they're just learning brew is take all the passive talents. Don't take any of the, like, annoying actives. Take Press the Advantage over Weapons of Order. Bob and Weave over Black Ox Brew, the two passes instead of Dampen and Diffuse. Like, take all of that, and that will get, and then you'll just be able to learn the base kit on its own. And once you're, like, super comfortable with the base kit, then you can add in each of those buttons one by one until you're comfortable with each of those. That's usually the advice I give people.
Great. That's awesome. And I have some questions about The War Within, but before we move to, like, forward-looking stuff, I also want to ask you, and this is just out of my personal curiosity, I don't know if you think about, and I've never really seen you raid on stream, like, what do you think about the importance of raiding for gear to do high-end Mythic Plus? Because there are people who, out there who just, I'm interested in only doing Mythic Plus, but I don't know whether not raiding is kind of holding me back from the highest of keys. I kind of want your take on this. This is just a personal question for me.
So most of the seasons I've played this game, I've not raided. I'd say like 70% of them I haven't raided. But my most successful seasons are the ones I've raided. Mm. And you can get 95% of the result as someone who raids, but that 5% really makes a difference, especially in consistency of your keys. Because if you have everyone has max raid gear, your room for error is so much bigger than the people who don't.
Very interesting. Okay, cool. That's great advice. But it's heartening to know kind of like, oh, the margin is actually not as big as I thought. Like, I think 95% is pretty decent. So that's kind of comforting to know. Anyway, just switching gears here. For more forward-looking stuff, and this has been a big debate in the Mythic Plus community. And I think there's two debates. The first is affixes, right? And not all of the affixes that Blizzard has ever came up with are kind of, you know, absolute bangers. There are some pretty bad ones. What are some of the affix changes you would like to see going into The War Within?
I think the biggest one is just you can't really have stuff like Afflicted and Incorp being as difficult as they are without a reward from them. Especially with how restrictive they are, a lot of classes can't actually interact with those affixes, so it like really bottlenecks your comp, and it makes some tyrannical fights absolutely insane, like Manifested Time Ways. If you don't have two other dispels, it's extremely hard on the healer. That's just an example, but overall I'd say Blizzard needs to lean into at least like experimenting with a positive affix, and then kind of like D3 or like other game genres who have tried to like mixing positive and negative affixes, because at the end of the day it's a game, right? You want people to enjoy it and have fun, and positive affixes are fun. Like, feeling more powerful is fun.
What about seasonal affixes? Well, a lot of people kind of say that with the kind of map rotation that we get every season, we don't really need seasonal affixes. What's your take on that?
So, I actually like seasonals, personally. I just think Blizzard needs to be more thorough with their testing and take feedback from the community, and especially the enjoyment factor of it. Because, like, Thundering, it was very well spoken that people did not enjoy it at all, how it worked in beta, and it still went live as it is. So, I think they just really need to... The enjoyment factor is the most important thing. Like, they just need to make sure it's actually fun to play. Stuff like Awakened and Cryptic were very fun to play.
Well said. And I hope Blizzard is listening. The other big debate is regarding keys depletion. And you know, I've heard people have different takes on this, but do you think keys depletion is something important in this game for stakes? Or is it too punishing just in general? I would love to hear your thoughts.
I'd say it is kind of punishing, because like, especially in like pugging, like it makes pugging really toxic. I could say like maybe, so with the new key system, 10s or 20s, so anything above 10 I'd say could deplete, but I think anything under 10 shouldn't deplete, because it's just kind of like it's basically just a high key system. Like, it really doesn't help anyone. It just makes it more frustrating for anyone who's not pushing. Because I think if they didn't deplete, high key would just be very... It would reward people who just have infinity time to play. Because you would just bang your head against a wall forever. So I think as long as it's removed for lower keys, I think it's fine.
Great. So other than, you know, affixes and keys depletion, is there any other things, it can be Mythic Plus or non-Mythic Plus related to the War Within that you hope to see changes for? It's just something I ask every guest, so we'd love to get your thoughts.
I'd actually love to see Mog rewards for like for breakpoints and M plus, similar to Arena. Giving different rating gives you different pieces of Mog, and have like a M plus specific color of the tier set, or even like a seasonal Mog for M plus. You could do like, you could give a token reward for timing each 20, and eventually you could buy the whole set for timing 820s. You know, something like that. Like, I would love that. Kind of similar to challenge modes, I guess. But I would love to see that return, because I think that was one of the hallmarks of like when dungeon, like competitive dungeoning started, was challenge modes. And the Mog tie is really fun. I think people love chasing Mog.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything I wanted to, you know, talk to you about, and also includes a lot of stuff that people wanted me to ask you. So before we wrap up, is there any like maybe shout outs you'd like to give, you know, your community or your friends? Yeah, why don't I turn it over to you? Like, is there any particular shout outs you'd like to give out?
So first shout out to my community. I love you guys. Like, all of them are great. They helped me a lot improving my content. To the information that I give out, a lot of things that I don't think of personally, and they've helped a lot with that. And even just like my perspective on brew in general, they've actually helped me discover like pretty good talent builds just by giving their perspective on it. And I think like that's pretty valuable, and I like that. Next is my guild Rhythm on Sargeras. I really enjoy playing with them. A lot of good guys in there, so shout out to them. Shout out to all my M plus friends, everyone I play with. And yeah, appreciate you guys.
Cool, dude. And I think the last comment from me is, I think there's a reason why everyone kind of requested for me to kind of talk to you. And I'll, again, my editor will put out the comment on screen. But I think the reason is, you don't see a lot of people who are very dedicated in their approach towards mastering a specific spec. And I think it takes a lot of kind of, you know, self, I don't know what's the right word, but kind of a perspective on what you want out of the game to be sure, like, hey, I'm going to play this spec no matter what. And I think a lot of people respect that. And you have a lot of fun on stream doing that. And I think that's kind of infectious. So I think on behalf of the community, I also just kind of want to say, you know, we appreciate you for doing that. There's not a lot of people who are willing to be standing against, you know, the tide of the meta. So just want to say thank you on behalf of the community as well.
Yeah, thank you. I love playing it. It's just, like I said, it's the one class that I really like click with. So I think it's fun to share that with people and share like the limits of that class. So I'm glad people enjoy it.
Actually, on that note, I'm curious, was there any ever point in time where you feel like, man, I'm just not feeling Brewmasters anymore and play something else? Like, have you ever felt that way since you started maining Brew?
I think season one season one BFA, I did not like it. Their stagger like was pretty bad back then, and you were just kind of, yeah, it was not a good time in that season. Every season after that, no, it's been pretty good.
Amazing. And that speaks to your dedication to the spec. And that's why I guess people recognize you as the number one Brewmaster tank. Anyway, on that note, it's a great way to wrap up. So, you know, thank you so much for your time. I know it's kind of early in the morning over there, and I know you were pushing keys too late last night. So all the best for the rest of the season. And just one last thing, how do people kind of follow your content, be it Twitch or YouTube? You know, what's the best way can people follow you?
So you can find me at twitch.tv/equinox, youtube.com/equinoxmonk. I have a website, equinoxmonk.com, where you can find pretty much everything and have my guide there as well. And yeah, it's pretty much where you can find me.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sure this will not be the last time we have you on a podcast. You have some really great insights, and you know, obviously you are a master at this spec. And somewhere down the line, I think it might be cool to kind of do a round table with all the kind of spec kind of masters of all the different tanks. So yeah, I'm sure this community won't be seeing you for the last time over here on this podcast. So thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend, and I'm sure we'll catch up offline again. Thanks, Equinox.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
See you soon. Take care.